We're back, everyone. This is Brian here.
And I'm Joe.
It's now day three of our story, and that means we'll find out what Dante has planned for the men who ruined his life. When we ended day two, Dante and Abbe Faria were digging a tunnel to escape from prison. Although Faria dies while they're digging the tunnel, Dante still gets out of prison in the end. He found Faria's treasure and is now headed back to France.
He also has a brand new identity. He is the Count of Monte Cristo. He has a new persona. He's got this treasure which he can use to fund his brand new life, and he's going to enter high society and try to take back what was stolen from him and punish the people who hurt him, his enemies from before that we learned all about on day one of this article.
Let's take a look at day three of the story and see where Dante's adventure takes him next.
Reading.
The Count of Monte Cristo. Dante moves to Paris and begins his revenge. He decides to begin with Dangler. Through his charm and wealth, Dante gains the trust of Dangler's family and becomes their business partner. He sabotages the family's business stocks by influencing the stock market, sending them into ruin. He then finds Fernand, who married Mercedes. Dante learns of a crime Fernand committed in his past and frames him. Fernand is so disgraced that he kills himself. Dante finally targets the attorney, Villefort. He discovers that, years ago, Villefort tried to kill his own illegitimate son. However, he was unsuccessful, and the boy is still alive. When the boy is arrested one day for committing a crime, Dante's servant visits him and tells the boy about his father. The boy goes before Villefort for his trial and reveals the truth. Villefort is shocked and runs from the courtroom. Dante goes to confront him, but the recent events have driven Villefort mad. Danglar, who is now almost penniless, finally repents his crimes, and Dante forgives him. As his revenge is complete, Dante leaves for an unknown land, never to be seen again. Day three of the story begins with Dante moves to Paris and begins his revenge. He decides to begin with Dangler. Through his charm and wealth, Dante gains the trust of Dangler's family and becomes their business partner. Charm, C-H-A-R-M, charm is a noun here, and it means a special quality that someone has that makes us feel that we like them. If we say someone is charming, then we know that person knows how to talk to people and can make them feel interested.
So the Count of Monte Cristo, he must have been very talented, a very good actor. He had to charm them and gain their trust, and not only that, he had to keep from being recognized. These people knew him before, but he comes to them as this new person, and they have no idea who he actually is. Well, the story goes on. He sabotages the family's business stocks by influencing the stock market, sending them to ruin.
Joe, what does it mean to sabotage?
Well, sabotage is a very fancy word. It means that you plot or plan against someone in order to hurt them in some way. So he was sabotaging the family's stocks. That just means he wanted to make the stocks lose value, and he was going to do that in a very sneaky, sort of underhanded way. He wasn't going to let people know that he was doing it. He wasn't going to do it out in the open. He was going to kind of sneak around and do it behind their backs so they wouldn't even know it was happening or that he was the one who was doing it.
We talked a lot about stocks so far. Stocks are a way to buy a piece of a company, so they are a part of the company that anyone can buy. We can buy these stocks, or shares as we call them sometimes, and make some money when the value of these stocks goes up or down. If the value goes up and then we sell the stocks, then we can make some money.
That's right. Buy low, sell high, I think is the old saying we use when we're buying stocks on what we call the stock market. Of course, there is a stock market in Taiwan, in Taipei. There's also very famous stock markets, say, in New York City, for example. And stock markets have been in the news a lot over the past few years, particularly back in like around 2008 when we had that big stock market crash that happened. And that's kind of what Dante or the Count of Monte Cristo wanted to happen. He wanted to make this family stocks crash or go way down in value so that they would be financially ruined.
The story continues. He then finds Fernand, who married Mercedes. Dante learns of a crime Fernand committed in his past and frames him. Fernand is so disgraced that he kills himself. Wow, so there's several new words in there. Commit. C-O-M-M-I-T. Commit is a verb that means we did something wrong or illegal. We usually say someone commits a crime, just like Fernand, or committed a serious wrongdoing against another person. Joe, we also heard that Dante frames Fernand, but what does that mean exactly?
If you frame someone, it means that you plot against them and you show that they have committed a crime that they did not actually commit. We often see this in murder mysteries or on TV shows that have to do with crime. Somebody will try to make it seem as though somebody maybe killed somebody else, but they didn't actually do that. They're innocent, but you try to make them look guilty. So that's what it means to frame somebody. You make it look as though they are guilty of a crime that they did not actually do.
So that's kind of what Dangler and Fernand did originally to Dante. They framed him by making it seem like he was a traitor of the French government. We also heard that Fernand is disgraced. When someone is disgraced, it means that they have lost people's respect because of something they did. In this case, people learned about the crime that Fernand did in his past. He felt that after everyone learned about this, he couldn't show his face in public anymore.
That's right. He was very, very deeply ashamed. The story goes on, and it says that Dante finally targets the attorney, Villefort. This was somebody else he wanted to get revenge on. He discovers that years ago, Villefort tried to kill his own illegitimate son.
What's an illegitimate child?
Illegitimate child, it refers to a baby that is born outside of marriage. So if a man and a woman, they have a baby, but the man and woman are not married, then sometimes we say that the child is illegitimate because they're not legally married, so the law would not recognize the child as their child. So back then, this was a really, really big deal. And of course, Villefort, he actually tried to kill his own illegitimate son, I guess because of the shame perhaps it would have caused his own family. Like I said, this was a huge deal back then, and it would have been a source of great shame for these upper-class families.
Yes, especially since he was an attorney, so a lot of people would have known about him.
And it might have ended his career, even.
The story continues. However, he was unsuccessful, and the boy is still alive. When the boy is arrested one day for committing a crime, Dante's servant visits him and tells the boy about his father. The boy goes before Villefort for his trial and reveals the truth. Go before is a phrasal verb that means we see a judge or some other authority and they consider us as part of an official process. So anytime someone sees a judge in court, we can say they go before that person. You can remember this more easily if you think that people usually stand in front of a judge when they're in court.
Or if you get in trouble at school, you might have to go before the principal, but hopefully you guys don't have to do that. Well, the story goes on to say, Villefort is shocked and runs from the courtroom. Dante goes to confront him, but the recent events have driven Villefort mad.
Say, how can we confront someone, Joe?
When we confront someone, it usually means we, like, stand directly in front of them and we are going to talk about some issue that we have between us. We're going to bring it right out in the open and talk about it in a very direct and serious way. So you don't talk about it indirectly. If somebody has wronged you, you confront them by saying, hey, you've done something bad, you've done something terrible to me, this is how I feel about it, and this is how I want to resolve the situation. But it seems like, in this case, confronting him is not really going to work because all these events, all these things that have happened have actually driven Villefort mad. Mad, in this case, does not mean, oh, he's angry. Mad means insane. This is like the British way of using the word mad. In British English, mad can mean insane or crazy, whereas in American English, mad usually just means, oh, they're very angry.
So, Villefort couldn't handle all of this happening to him. The story concludes, Dangler, who is now almost penniless, finally repents his crimes and Dante forgives him. As his revenge is complete, Dante leaves for an unknown land, never to be seen again. To repent means to be very sorry for something wrong that we have done. So it took losing everything for Dangler to feel sorry for what he did to Dante. What do you say we can learn about the moral of this story, Joe?
Well, one of the morals that really stands out for me is like the power of forgiveness, because it does say that Dante forgives Dangler, which I find amazing, given all that he did to him, all the terrible things that he put him through. He ruined his life, sent him to jail, and it was only by basically a minor miracle that Dante was able to escape and try to regain his old life and get all these things back. It just so happened that he went to jail and there was this person, Abbe Faria, who had this treasure that he could use to fund this whole plot, and he had to go through all these terrible things in order to get his life back in order. And then when he does confront Dangler, he does actually forgive him. And Dangler does feel sorry for what he did to Dante. But that's just my own interpretation of the moral of the story. What do you think about that, Brian?
Well, I think that no matter what, something was going to happen to Dangler in the end. Because if he's the kind of person that is jealous of his shipmates and plots to ruin their lives, he's obviously the kind of guy who doesn't see anything wrong with this. Maybe he's done stuff like that before, will continue to do it in the future, so somehow, some way, Dangler will get what's coming to him. They also say that what comes around goes around, or what goes around comes around, so no matter what, Dangler is the kind of person who will be punished because he was so jealous.
And we need that for what we call closure in a story. That's also a very important element of any good story. We talked about in day one, conflict. We need things to go wrong to have an entertaining story that we can enjoy reading. And then in the end, closure is how we wrap up or finish the story and bring all the various issues and plot points to a close. So the author has done an excellent, masterful job of wrapping things up and giving us closure in the end for all the things that have happened to Dante and just bringing the story to a satisfying end.
And I don't think that the main theme is so much Dante's revenge, but that has a little bit to do with today's For You Chat question.
For You Chat.
Today's For You Chat question is it a good idea to get revenge? Why or why not? Well, revenge is a common theme in many stories, Joe, but what do you think about getting revenge?
Well, we kind of touched on this a little bit in day one, and I think revenge offers just a very temporary satisfaction for us. It will make us feel good at the time. If somebody has made us suffer, we also want to see them suffer, and if we do that, we might think, yeah, this is good, this is great, I've got my revenge, now I feel better. But in the end, you'll just feel worse, and you don't want to lower yourself to that as well. If somebody does bad things to you, if you do bad things back to them, then you are no better than them. We often say two wrongs don't make a right. That's a very common idiom in English. It just means if people do wrong to you, doing wrong back to them will not make things better.
We also say that if someone takes the low road, we will take the high road. So we don't have to drop down to their level. They even say that living well is the best revenge, and maybe that's true. Dante, in the end, doesn't kill any of the people who ruined his life, and while he ruins them, it doesn't seem like it does a whole lot for him as he sails off, never to be seen again. So he doesn't put it in their face or gloat or say anything about how he ruined them and try to make them feel worse. He even forgives Dangler. So maybe revenge isn't always the best idea. Sometimes we say that an eye for an eye will leave the whole world blind. If anything, the story is more about how we shouldn't be jealous about what others have, which is what Danglers and Fernand feel at the beginning of the story. It's their greed that leads them to ruin Dante's life. So, or so they thought. He ends up coming back stronger, and they receive their punishment in the end.
That's right. There's a lot of good points here. So if somebody has done you wrong, I think you should not focus on trying to get back at them or trying to get your revenge. You should do what Brian had just pointed out and just try to live the best possible life that you can and do as well as you can in life. That's what will bring you the most satisfaction.
Yeah, if anything, if you find someone who tries to do wrong things to you, chances are that one day they will get their punishment somehow, some way, from someone. So it's better not to worry too much about trying to get back at people because, like you said earlier, we don't want to create some sort of vicious cycle of revenge. Well, everyone, it looks like we've reached the end of our 3-day lesson on The Count of Monte Cristo. I hope you enjoyed this tale as much as we enjoyed telling it. We'll see you here next time.
Goodbye.
Sentence for you. Oh, I just learned off the news that this season would be the last season of my favorite sitcom. Oh, how sad, huh?
我刚得知了我最喜欢的情境喜剧呢，在这一季就要结束啦，真是太难过了。本课课文中呢，讲到 Dante learns of a crime Fernand committed。这里呢 ，learn 意思呢，和我们平常所熟悉的用法学习可是有点出入哦。过去呢，一般我们讲到 learn 大多是学习的意思，像是呢 ，we love learning English， 我们都喜欢学习英文。或是 Where did you learn to play the piano? 你在哪里学钢琴呢? I learned from my uncle. He is a musician. 我向呢我的音乐家叔叔学习哦。这里呢目前为止呢都是学习的意思，但是当 learn 作为不及物动词的时候呢，它就可以解释为知道哦。例如呢，本课提到 Dante learns of a crime Fernand committed. 这里呢 learn of 若翻译为学到，那就有点怪怪的咯。所以呢，这整句话的意思呢，就是 Dante 得知了 Fernand 所犯下的罪行哦。那么呢，一样解释为知道，你也可以用 learn about， 如
How did you learn about the news? 你怎么知道这个新闻的呢？当然你也可以简单的说呢 How did you know the news? 或是呢可以使用发现 find out. For example, I found the fact that Jim works out every day. 我发现呢 Jim 每天都有健身的习惯哦。所以呢下次在文章里面看到 learn, 可别通通把它当成学习来解释咯。Hope you've learned a lot in today's teaching. I'm Sam, see you next time.
The Count of Monte Cristo. Dante moves to Paris and begins his revenge. He decides to begin with Dangler.Through his charm and wealth, Dante gains the trust of Dangler's family and becomes their business partner. He sabotages the family's business stocks by influencing the stock market, sending them into ruin. He then finds Fernand, who married Mercedes. Dante learns of a crime Fernand committed in his past,and frames him. Fernand is so disgraced that he kills himself. Dante finally targets the attorney, Villefort. He discovers that, years ago, Villefort tried to kill his own illegitimate son. However, he was unsuccessful, and the boy is still alive.When the boy is arrested one day for committing a crime, Dante's servant visits him and tells the boy about his father. The boy goes before Villefort for his trial and reveals the truth. Villefort is shocked and runs from the courtroom. Dante goes to confront him, but the recent events have driven Villefort mad.Danglar, who is now almost penniless, finally repents his crimes, and Dante forgives him. As his revenge is complete, Dante leaves for an unknown land, never to be seen again.
Vocabulary Review.
Charm. President Barack Obama has a lot of charm and is good at speaking to people. Commit. He committed a crime when he went into the bank and stole money. Frame.The woman was framed to make it seem like she tried to kill someone. Go before. I had to go before the principal after I made too much noise in class. Confront. The teacher confronted her student when she saw him cheating on the test.